Pastor Dave Rolfe on the type of relationship our Lord wants with us.
He doesn't force himself on anyone. The way that God wants to work in our lives is through loving us, wooing us, blessing us so much that his kindness toward us brings us to repentance. That's his plan. He doesn't want a legal relationship with us. He wants a real relationship with us. And that's why it's so important for us to understand, no, it's about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not what you give up or how you serve or what you do. It's not about, come on, you got to do this. It's about looking at him and just responding to him. That's the point.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
On behalf of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel and Aliso Viejo, welcome once again to The Balanced Word. We're in a study of the Psalms right now with Pastor Dave Rolfe, and here today we pause to consider a few key verses in Psalm 40. Verses 6 through 8 really pinpoints the relationship God wants to have with us. And just perhaps it's a picture that is far different than the one you have in your mind today. Here's Pastor Dave with a relationship you don't want to miss out on.
Here's the point. It's not about sacrifice, but it is about Jesus. As it says that Jesus was saying, don't you get it? In the volume of the book or in the scroll, as you unwrap the word of God, it's written about me. It's all about me, and it really is. Oh, man, I would have loved to have been there with those two disciples who were walking along the road after Jesus had died, and he had risen from the dead, and they didn't recognize him. For some reason, they couldn't figure out who he was. Maybe it was the scars that he had. It could have been just that God allowed them, you know, prevented them from recognizing him at that point. But Jesus came up to them and said, why are you guys so sad? And they said, didn't you hear? Jesus died. And he began to talk to them, went to their house, and it says that later, as they were reflecting back on it, they said, man, could you believe it? How our hearts burned within us as he opened the scripture to us. And it said that he took them from Moses, from Genesis, all the way through the prophets, the whole Old Testament, and showed how it was all about him. And that's the glorious thing. I'm looking forward to being in heaven and having Jesus teach us the Old Testament. And show how, yeah, see that? That was about me too. See this? Here's how that was about me. But what the psalmist is saying here is, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. Hebrews makes that clear. Jesus talking to the Pharisees over in John chapter 5 mentioned to them, you guys think you know everything. You study the scriptures. You soak it up. You meditate on it. But you don't get it that it's about me, that it's talking about me. You don't see that. And I'm afraid so often we don't either. As we don't see Jesus in the middle of what it is that our Christianity is all about, then what we are is we're left back to some kind of weird legal system where we think if we're good enough, somehow we're going to gain acceptance from God. But it's understanding this, that it's about him, it's not about us, and therefore it's not something that he desires to just reform us. He doesn't want to just have us miss out on all the fun, and then through our sacrifice, it makes a difference. It's sad, but there are a lot of people who believe somehow that that's what needs to happen. Oh, I got to take up my cross. It means I need to be tortured too. The Catholic Church mistakenly came up with the doctrine of purgatory as a result of this. They felt like somehow what Jesus did isn't quite enough. And so as a result, after we die, depending on how good or bad we are here on earth, we may have to be purged. We may have to go to purgatory. We may have to go through some steps of finishing up what we need to suffer. And so if we suffer here on earth, it's going to make us have a shorter time suffering later. That's a sad doctrine. It's not something that draws you into a loving relationship with God, that's for sure. Martin Luther, as a young Catholic monk, talked about deliberately suffering in order to try to gain some status with God. And someone said to Luther, wow, you must have really loved God to go through that torture. And he said, love God? I hated him. And it's true, ultimately, when you believe that somehow you're the one that needs to sacrifice, it'll cause you to get more hatred than love. It doesn't bring us into the relationship that God wants us to have with him. We need to see it's about Jesus. It's what he did for us. It's not about what we do. And he doesn't call us to suffer, to make up somehow, you know, where he came short. And so, therefore, now we need to do this. Sacrifice is the center of the Old Testament, but it's because it looks forward to the sacrifice of Jesus. When you read the New Testament and look up the word sacrifice there, most of the references in the New Testament are referring to pagan sacrifices, referring back to Old Testament sacrifices, not really applying them to us except for in a couple places. One where it just talks about the sacrifice of praise. It's like, hey, if you want to give something to me, praise me. Now, that's not much of a sacrifice. We can talk about the sacrifice of praise, but really, how big of a sacrifice is it for us to praise God after all that he's done? There's another one that we'll look at in a little bit where it talks about us being a sacrifice in Romans chapter 12. But for the most part, sacrifice was a picture of Jesus, and we need to understand this. When we hear sacrifice, it's not God's not calling you to sacrifice. He really isn't. But as we look here in Psalm 40 also, where Jesus says, you know, going through here, he says, I delight, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. This is describing the relationship that God wants to have with us. What we do for him, what we do with him, it should be out of the delight of our heart. Just desiring so much to do his will. Because what was promised in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 33 and others, where it talks about the new covenant, God always said, there's going to be a day when you don't have to live under a law, when you don't have to live under the restrictions of just a set of rules. But instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to place my law within your heart. I'm going to give you a heart transplant that will allow you to just do what you want because you'll be receiving from me that which I am doing in your life through the Holy Spirit. And as a result, you'll automatically just want to and enjoy and appreciate the opportunity to do what's right. Now, there's something within us that causes us to do what's wrong, that causes us to have, I believe we all have a death wish in a way. I think we all do things that are self-destructive. There's something within us that makes us want to do things that are bad for us. There's also something within us that when somebody tells us we can't do something, we want to do it. You know, I see a piece of pie sitting there, and it could be a great piece of pie, but I don't want someone to make me eat it. Here, have a piece of pie. You know, some people, you're over at their house, oh, you want a piece of pie? No, I don't really want to. I may have my own reasons why I don't want to. Come on, you've got to eat this. It's like, man, maybe I don't like pecans, or maybe I don't. And no, but eat it, eat it. And something that I otherwise might really enjoy, if somebody's cramming it down my throat, I don't want it. So often we make the mistake in communicating about Christianity to people is that this is something you need to do. Come on, suck it up, sacrifice, do what you're supposed to do, follow the rules. And even those things that we would want to do if they left us alone, we don't want to do because somebody is saying you have to do it. And God understands that and he knows it. And therefore, he doesn't force himself on anyone. The way that God wants to work in our lives is through loving us, wooing us, blessing us so much that his kindness toward us brings us to repentance. That's his plan. He doesn't want a legal relationship with us. He wants a real relationship with us. And that's why it's so important for us to understand, no, it's about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not what you give up or how you serve or what you do. It's not about, come on, you got to do this. It's about looking at him and just responding to him. That's the point. Now, if what he says is, it's all about delighting to do his will, I'm going to ask you a question. Everything that you're doing for the Lord and everything that you're doing in obedience to him, are you enjoying it? Are you delighting in it? Well, it's good that you're doing the right things. But if you're doing the right things with the wrong heart and the wrong motivation, it becomes, well, it'll end up being destructive. It'll end up not doing you any good. You'll put all that effort out for nothing. If we aren't delighting to do his will, then there's simply something wrong with our heart. And that's where we need to focus, because it's God's intention in the new covenant that he would place within us by the work of the Holy Spirit, the desire to do the right thing willingly. Now, there are some people who feel compelled and forced into certain situations. There are some people who feel like they're trapped in a marriage. You hear that all the time. I'm just stuck. Why? What's keeping you from getting a divorce? Well, I'm afraid that God will squash me. I'm afraid that I'm going to have to lose half of what I own or more. I'm afraid the kids will side with my spouse. I'm afraid that my friends won't like me. What a sad set of reasons to stay married to someone. Now, please, I'm not telling you to get a divorce if that's been your, what you need is a new heart. In the same way, if we're serving God and just going, oh, I've just got to suck it up. It's just eventually it's going to be okay. I'll be too old to actually have to do anything. Or, you know, I'm sure, you know, the thing that keeps me going every day is my spouse isn't looking so well. And I'm thinking, okay, one of these days. Like it's a big endurance thing. And how insulting that is to relationship. But how insulting it is to God when we feel like he's this ogre that takes away all the good stuff and says, look, I suffered, now it's your turn. You need to suffer. I went through a lot for you, now it's time for you to be miserable. But see, Jesus wasn't miserable even when he gave himself. He said, nobody takes my life. I give it willingly. In Isaiah 53, it says it pleased the Lord when he went and suffered and died on the cross. Because he knew what would come from it, he was happy to do it. So what's wrong with us that when we do God's will, we don't delight? What's wrong with us when we're being a Christian, but it feels so oppressive and heavy, and it feels like it's just, well, it's endurance, it's misery. What's wrong with us is that heart. What's wrong with us is the very center and core of our being. You know, there are people who give money to the Lord because they feel like they have to. I have people every week call on the radio, and basically they ask it in different ways, but really when they question about tithing, for instance, they always want to know how much they owe God. How much do I have to give God? And sometimes they'll say, do you need to tithe off your net or your gross? And then you get questions. Do you need to tithe on capital gains when a property appreciates? Or do you need, and it's like, okay, how much do I owe God? What's the bare minimum I can do for him? And there are some people who have an attitude, okay, how many times a week do you really need to go to church? Oh, I know you can go every night, but how many do you really have to do? It's not about what I have to do. It's not about, oh, I've got to do it. It's about I get to. It's about how much can I do to take part in what God wants to do? How obedient can I be to him? How much can I please him for what I do? And if that isn't the case, if you're feeling like I've got to instead of I get to, your heart needs some work. It's not looking so good deep down inside in who you are. And it won't help you to just pile more guilt on. It won't help you if I get up here and tell you, you ought to be, hey, if 10% is killing you, you need to give 15%. And if you're not teaching Sunday school, why not? And I'm telling you, anybody who doesn't do a couple of shoeboxes this year, I don't even want you in this church. Just get out. Oh, that really helps, doesn't it? We might get a few more shoeboxes. If we don't have many shoeboxes, we get closer to Christmas, I might try it. But in reality, oh, you know. But in reality, what does that do? Really? Makes everyone feel bad. But you're like the people, and you've all seen people like this. They act like everything's okay for a long time. Again, back to the marriage metaphor. There are people who you'd think they're totally fine. And they're just doing the right thing, going through all the, you know, everything on the outside looks fine. And one day something snaps and they just take off and you don't hear from them again. And everybody's like, wow, what happened on that day? Nothing happened on that day. This is something that had been building for a long time, lying to yourself in denial, trying to convince yourself that somehow I just got to gut it out and sacrifice and do the. And all of a sudden, it's like, that's it. I resent this. I don't want to be treated like this. I don't want to be this way. And there are people who do that with God. They're growing up and they're like, okay, I understand. I can't go to the prom because I'm a Christian, and I can't do this. I can't do that because I'm a Christian. And they grow to hate God. And it's too bad because God never told them they couldn't go to the prom or they couldn't date till they were 25 or whatever. These are rules that people came up with. And as a result, you start to resent the one who's muscling you into obedience. God has always intended for his people to delight to do his will. And he would say, hey, look, if when the offering plate comes by and you're like, oh man, this is killing me to put in this much money, but I don't have change. I wonder if you can get change in the offering. I'm hoping there's a couple fives in there. God would just go, just keep your money. It doesn't matter. I don't need it. God loves a cheerful giver. Hilarious is the word there. He feels the same way about everything else you do for him. Don't do him any favors if it means that you're beating yourself down, sacrificing yourself, and being miserable. Now, it's not just, hey, just go ahead and do whatever you want. Because if you choose to live in sin, if you choose to do things that go contrary to what God commands, you're going to pay the price. He makes things sin because he knows they're bad for us. So it's good practical advice what he commands us to do. But he never wants us to do it so that we do him a favor. He doesn't want us to be righteous to do something for him. He wants us to be righteous so that we'll do something for us. But if we aren't doing it from the heart, we're going to have more damage from obedience than we might even have for disobedience. And so he says, look, in your heart, that's where it starts. That's where it has to come from. And if you're going, man, Dave, I've been doing a lot of things lately that really weren't from my heart, that I can't honestly say that I delighted to do it. So what should I do? Bail? You know, should we just have a big happy hour after church and let's all go get drunk because that'll make us delight? No. And the thing is, this is indicating there's something in the heart. Don't go destroy yourself. But at the same time, don't settle for going through the motions of a phony Christianity that's really nothing more than self-discipline. That's nothing more than caving into peer pressure. There's nothing more than just playing games with God. God wants our heart. And the glorious thing is when we give him our heart and we look at Jesus and see what he has done for us, then obedience becomes natural and it becomes delightful and we'll enjoy it. I mean, and I've done it both ways, so I can tell you. There have been times when I've gone to fill up shoeboxes and just gone, oh man, I have to do this. I didn't think anybody would know if I did it or not, but it was like, come on, I can't get up there and tell other people to do it unless I do it too. But then there were also those glorious times when I had so much fun filling up shoeboxes and doing everything else I do. And God goes, that's the way it's supposed to be. Delight to do my will. But it comes because we say, God, I want to serve you. I'm not your slave. I'm not someone that you've forced into service. I'm someone who says, you've delivered me. You've set me free. And now, with a new heart, I want to serve you. I'm happy to be pierced. I'm acknowledging, yeah, this is, it's delightful. Turn in your Bibles over to Romans chapter 12, and we're almost done. Romans 12 is where Paul talks about our sacrifice. Verses 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you, or I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Living sacrifices. The big deal about being a sacrifice is it kills you. I mean, it's no big deal to take a lamb, stick it up on a thing, go, you know, say some religious words and set it free. The thing that makes a sacrifice is it gets killed. And so often that's what we think our walk with God is going to do to us. It's going to kill us. But Paul says, no, you're a living sacrifice. I have given life to you. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but I made you alive. It's a complete reverse. Ordinarily, a sacrifice was alive and you make it dead. But we have gone through that opportunity that God gives us where we were dead and he makes us alive. So to be a living sacrifice, he says, it's a reasonable service. It just makes sense. It's the most natural thing. And how does that change occur? Again, there in verse 2. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or that you may demonstrate the good, acceptable, perfect, natural will of God. And so what Paul is saying here is, look, you get to be a sacrifice, but you get to stay alive. All you do is give him everything that's messed you up, and he will give you everything you need to live a life that's pure and holy and natural. Something that happens automatically. Why? Because he changes your mind.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Here's Pastor Dave with some final thoughts about how God wants to relate to us.
There are so many times when we spend our energy and effort trying to talk people into changing their minds, when if instead we would just let them see Jesus, he would change their mind. If we would just pray for them, the Holy Spirit would convict them and cause them to go, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to suffer the consequences I've been suffering anymore. I think I'm due for a change. And God does it so naturally and so beautifully from within that, again, the experience is, I delight to do your will. You renewed my mind. You gave me a brain and a heart transplant, and man, I just get to do what I want now. That's how God wants to relate to us. He doesn't want to just call us to, it's time for you to pull yourself together. If God is depending on us reforming ourselves, he's in big trouble because we just aren't able to do it. Even self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. It's God working in our hearts. And so he doesn't call us to clean ourselves up. He calls us to receive his heart. And the way we know if that's happening is we enjoy doing things for him. We enjoy doing the right thing. We delight to do his will because his law is in our hearts. He's renewed our minds. He makes that change. I suspect that a lot of you, especially if you've been Christians for a long time, you've fallen into the habit of just doing the right thing. And I'm not going to tell you, well, do the wrong thing instead. But what I'm telling you is, if it isn't enjoyable, if it's not delightful, if it doesn't feel natural to you, hey, don't just force it. Don't just go, I'm just going to do this. But instead, look at Jesus. It's all about him. In the volume of the book and the scroll that's written of him, and as you see him, he'll change your heart if you let him. If you report for duty and just say, okay, I want to work for you. That's my choice. If you don't want to walk with Jesus, don't. You don't have to. If somebody's pressuring you or forcing you to do it, don't do it. He wants to woo you. He wants to love you so much that the response of your heart is that you'll be happy to do something for him. And if you haven't gotten there, don't just force yourself to do it. Instead, go get alone with him and look at God and get in the Word and see Jesus and say, I need a new heart.
We'll continue this message, Not a Sacrifice, on the next Balanced Word with Dave Rolf. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here on Monday. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.